Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Heaven.
Are you ready for another mini book club? Are you all ready?
I am jazzed.
So today's mini book club is The Great American Ghost Trip by Richard Estep.
Yay.
Shout out, Richard.
Shout out Richard Estep. He is a prolific writer.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of books.
I have one in my Amazon cart. Richard, I'm buying another book.
Oh, which one?
The Farrar.
Oh, I haven't bought that one yet, but I've thought about it.
I was looking for, to do the stuff I do on Instagram. I was looking for the book cover and all these other books came up. I mean, I don't know how many books he's written, but it's more than five.
I want to say he probably has a good 15 at least just on like haunted locations.
The guy that reads the audiobook is Josh Hurd, who's the guy that owns Malvern Manor.
Oh, that's cool.
In your version, does it say, then determining which undergarments from the Victoria's Secret catalog feel the silkiest against his deliciously smooth skin? God damn it, Richard, why do you write this crap and make me
Oh,
narrate
yeah,
it?
I forgot about that.
That's in there because Josh is reading this book to you in the audiobook and he's reading all that stuff.
That's funny as hell.
Yeah, he totally set him up.
I love his books just for the information you get about these haunted places. He's also just puts in a lot of little quips. Like, he's pretty funny.
Yeah.
If you've listened to all the episodes of the pod, you probably know by now that I really, really love Richard's books. I have read his Blood, Death, and Fears, which is the haunted hospitals episode we did. It was about the old South Pittsburgh hospital. And On Dark Ground, which was the Monroe House book that we did for haunted houses.
Right.
So this was an easy pick for our book club to throw in an Estep book.
Yeah, there's a couple of more I'd love to read, but I don't want to get overloaded with Richard Estep books. Not that you shouldn't go read them, but
Well, we can spread them out over time.
oh yeah, we definitely will. We will definitely be back with another Richard Estep book.
Oh, I don't know where it is, but I just ordered, oh, it's right on my lap, one for an episode we have coming. It's well, I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Don't even show me the cover. Don't even show me the cover. No. Don't show me the cover. Hide that book. I will guess
Okay.
it as soon as I see it.
How?
Better not be Hinsdale.
I don't know what that is.
Good. Let's leave it that way for now.
Okay. I like the book for a book club pick because it covers a bunch of different locations instead of a deep dive into one specific location. So we can save those books for real full episodes.
Right.
So the premise of this book is that Richard is going on a road trip over 12 days and nights to several different haunted locations and meeting up with different people that he knows that some of them, a lot of them, own these haunted locations or manage them.
Yeah, almost all of them are that way. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to give us all the information on what happened to them during their investigations. And you get a little bit of history of the places and all that kind of stuff. I love it.
Yeah, it's really cool because it's not a deep dive into any of them. And they were there overnight. He kind of gives you the highlights of what happened during the investigation. And
Yeah.
you get like the quick and dirty history, and you get a short, brief investigation, and then it's pick up and move on. And a couple of them he comes back to, like Monroe House, he goes back and forth.
A lot of them he has been to previous times, so he kind of knows his way around the place. And
And some of the ones that he's been to a lot, the chapters are shorter just because he's like, I did a whole book on this place.
right, I didn't make a lot of notes on the first couple chapters because I already talked about most of that in episode 16
Yeah.
in the Monroe House, but I still feel the exact same about this location. It's somewhere I would love to investigate. It's got really high activity. But it kind of scares me a little bit, and I don't know if I want to go.
I think you would be fine if you went with a group. Like, if you could get Richard and Lisa to go there with you.
With just me? You're not coming?
Well, with you, I mean us. Duh.
They could have sent me to the demon house without you.
Oh, hell no. That's not going to happen.
You're going in the crawl space.
I'm too big for the crawl space. And it sounds like you can't go in there very far. And I think that's probably because of the bones and things that are back in there. And they don't want you disturbing it because then they don't want to have to call anybody. But if you had somebody who had been in there a few times and knew what they were doing there, then they kind of mellow out the vibe a little bit because they are familiar with the place. I think you would be all right.
Yeah, maybe we can get Katrina and Jack to meet us out there.
Oh, hell yeah. Let me call him up right now. My good buddy Jack and Katrina. She's pregnant, by the way.
Oh, congrats, Katrina. You're never going to hear this, but congratulations.
Yeah.
The place we only briefly mentioned in the haunted house episode is the Blackford County Jail, the haunted jail right down the road from Monroe.
Correct, yes.
I love that Dan, who now owns it, worked as a Blackford County deputy and was there when it was still operating as a jail. That's really cool. And now he lives there.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd want to live there.
Well, it's like a traditional old school jail where there's a house, you know?
Well, yeah. And I mean, the guy spent a lot of time there. He probably felt like he lived there at one point.
And now he gets to experience all the hauntings all the time. He's living the dream.
I mean, really, he knows his way around in there. So, you know, it's not a bad idea.
I don't know if you remember, but when we recorded the haunted house episode, we had been like, we need to go there, get a team at the jail, get a team at the house, corroborate some things. And then, look, Estep beats us to it.
Estep goes, does exactly the thing we were talking about. Did he copy off us?
I think the book came out way before we even existed.
So Richard didn't copy off of us. He just had a great idea that we also had.
And we can still do.
I didn't think Richard copied off of us, but.
We're not that special.
No.
He's probably never even listened to the episode.
No.
The next one I have written down is the Randolph County Infirmary.
Mm-hmm.
Another place that we have discussed wanting to go to. It's not too far from home.
No.
And now after reading that they have their very own creeper, I'm even more interested in it.
Yeah, I would like to experience one of these creepers.
Me too.
Like I said, I've seen shadow people and they don't freak me out. I'm not so sure a creeper wouldn't freak you out because of the behavior, because shadow people are there and gone.
I guarantee it would give me the heebie-jeebies, but I'd still like the experience.
Yeah. A lot of times the creepers, it seems, are in places that have been over-investigated.
Like egregores?
Yeah, so are they an egregore situation? Are they just a manifestation of energy? And not even an egregore where someone's like, oh, we're looking for Zombie Boy, and so we've created Zombie Boy.
Right. But when you get all these people in there saying like, well, I saw this shadowy, creepy figure.
Yeah, when other people start reporting it, and then you go there looking to see it, now you're starting to feed into it.
I wouldn't mind feeding into it.
My intention would not be to feed into it on purpose, but if I were there and I saw it, that would be kind of neat.
They had a ton of luck with the Estes method here, which, you know, I love the Estes method. It's probably my favorite form of investigating.
They use it a lot and they get a lot better results than we sometimes get, but we've kind of just started playing with it and we definitely are going to use that more often in the coming months.
Couple people get touched there. They even audibly heard voices. Sounds like a hell of a place to investigate.
Oh, yeah.
Is it at the Monroe House where they think they have a puck wedgie?
I believe it is.
That's crazy. I got so excited when I read that.
I thought it was weird.
Yeah. But do you remember when we talked about Bridgewater Triangle, you referenced that they have seen puck wedgies in Indiana?
Yeah.
Or something similar to a puck wedgie.
I mean, Michelle described it as having like a porcupine back, and that's how puck wedgies are described.
It's very interesting. It's not something I expected to run into in Indiana.
Agreed.
After they finish up at the infirmary and going back and forth between the Monroe House, they head to Gettysburg. So then they go to this orphanage in Gettysburg, and Richard tells us about how they have an egregore there, a shadowy thought form. But they also have the ghost of a woman who once worked there, Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really interested in their theory on her, maybe not a theory, maybe just a thought, that could the employee who's dressing up in period clothing and acting as this Rosa Carmichael, who is by all reports not a good person, but didn't die at the orphanage, could she be causing it kind of like an egregore, contributing to her spirit being there?
Right. And she didn't die there. She died who knows where. She kind of, when she was ran out of town and kind of dropped off the face of the earth in terms of history.
Yeah.
Wherever she died, could she have come back and haunt the orphanage? And so they think it's an egregore because she didn't die there.
I think anything could be possible.
Yeah. I don't know that we know everything we think we know. I think just because she didn't die there doesn't mean she's not haunting the place.
Next location they go to is the Jenny Wade House, the only recorded civilian casualty of the Battle of Gettysburg.
Yeah, it was that poor girl.
Yeah, Jenny Wade. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm not the most historically educated person in the world.
What?
I know the basics. You know, I know that Lincoln freed the slaves, and but he hunted vampires.
Which by the way, is still suspiciously absent from the Lincoln Presidential Museum. I don't know if you have to have a special pass.
You don't have the special vampire pass?
No, I don't.
I do.
Oh.
I know where they keep the stake.
The stake and the double-bladed axe.
I mean, he was basically Paul Bunyan.
In a top hat.
So I know like the basics of Gettysburg, but I had never heard this story. And it was really, really sad.
The Jenny Wade story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew the Jenny Wade story from just because I know the Farnsworth house. And, you know, you can't talk about the Farnsworth house without talking about Jenny Wade. So
I like the chapter aside from the sad story. I love a sad story. But I liked the chapter aside from the sad story because it's a nice reminder that you're not always going to catch things on every investigation.
That's 100% true.
You might get a few noises here and there.
Yeah, yeah. You can walk into the most haunted place in the world and spend the night and see nothing.
It's normally just a quiet night sitting in the dark with your friends.
I mean, that's always fun too.
And every now and then, did you see that shadow? I think there's a shadow over there. Did you see that move?
You're just describing us on most every ghost hunt.
Yeah, I mean, but is it not like the best time of your life every time?
Well, of course.
Especially if we have Emily with us, because she just brings the chaos.
She brings the chaos and the I'm afraid of everything that moves.
Yeah, so that's okay. You're not always going to have a lot of activity, but they do when you get those nights like we had in Jacksonville. It definitely fuels you to get through all the other nights where you just sit around.
They make it all worth it, that's for sure. Well, while they're at Jenny Wade, there's the house that they think that the shot came from, but there's no historical proof of it.
Right. I don't really know how you would have proof of that.
Yeah, they just know that there were soldiers there, and that so they don't know for sure that that's where it came from.
The Farnsworth house was occupied by Confederate troops.
The Farnsworth house is where they hid, and they shot into, according to legend, shot into Jenny Wade's house.
And then they just freaking punched a hole in the wall and carried her through. That's wild.
They didn't have any choice because bullets were flying, you know?
And they said the hole is still there. Wouldn't you think you'd catch it?
I mean, when history's happening, you don't think about that kind of stuff. You know, you did this to facilitate this, but somebody left it.
Yeah. And it was a duplex. So two families just lived with a hole to go between their houses. That's wild to me. Unless it was just you guys were besties and it was a nice little shortcut.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe the other family moved out because of the war, you know?
Yeah, because their daughter died in the house or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mifflin.
Chapter 9 is about Fort Mifflin, and it had a line that I didn't ever think I would read in an Estep book, which was, fecal matter was everywhere. I also love that instead of a gray lady or a blue lady, this place has a screaming lady.
Hell yeah, it does.
Those are future ghost goals.
And that they heard a screaming woman while they were there. They don't know that it was paranormal.
True. Us women, we do just walk around and scream.
I mean, I don't believe that either. But, you know, who knows that some girl wasn't playing with her friends or something, you know?
If there was a haunted location by my house and I knew they had a screaming lady, I would 1,000,000% walk through the woods as a teenager and just scream at the top of my lungs.
Oh, yeah. Totally mess with people. If it was near enough to your house, just go out the back door and scream over there. Hey! See if she'll answer. What?
I really like the screaming lady. That's better than any gray lady or blue lady.
Yeah.
I want to meet her and be her friend.
I just thought it was cool that they went there because Fort Mifflin's one of those places, if you've watched enough ghost shows, you've been there. He's gone to nowhere that I've never heard of in this book.
Would you be surprised if I told you I haven't heard of most of these places?
I would not be surprised.
Okay, good. Next location they go to is the Bel Air House in Ohio.
Which I would love to go to, by the way.
Put it on the list.
That's a bucket list place for me.
I don't know if I want to go there. There's a spirit in the attic that lures people to jump out of the window.
Yeah. Well, just when they say, hey, heaven, why don't you jump out the window? You can always just say, hey, no.
My intrusive thoughts would go, that could be fun. What if you can fly?
I mean, what if you can?
I won't know till I jump out of the window.
Paranormal Lockdown's been to Bel Air House. I knew somebody had been. American Hauntings goes to the Bel Air House.
Really? Are they going currently?
Next available May 15th. It is sold out.
Of course.
My only disappointment is that the Bel Air chapter's a little bit shorter than some of the other ones. And that's because not a heck of a lot happened while they were there.
It sounds like a really incredible place other than the ghost who tries to kill you. But they also have that spirit that sometimes presents itself as a little girl but changes its appearance.
Right. That's some creepy stuff. It's on my list of stuff to cover at some point in this pod. I don't know when, but...
When we were recording for like the fifth time last week...
That's a nice way of putting it.
We were talking a little bit about the book, you know, because we always discuss on the off parts of the episode, like where you at in the book, you know, whatever. And the idea of a long paranormal road trip and wondering how in the world Richard managed to survive something like this. And then after that conversation, I got to this chapter where he tells us that he is exhausted and is like ready to be at home sleeping.
He drives all day to get to a place to do a thing, and then they do the investigation. He gets 4 hours of sleep. He gets back in the car and drives another 6 to 8 hours to be, sometimes less, but to be at a place to do a thing, and does an investigation and gets 4 hours sleep. And after 12 days, I wouldn't be able to do it.
I'm exhausted after one night of investigating.
Doing it and then having to drive 6 hours would suck.
Well, Richard was exhausted. It was everything we thought it would be. He was really, really ready to be home. That's a lot of energy draining days and nights with very little sleep. It would be fun, but it'd be hard.
You are a monster, Richard. I could not have done that. There's just absolutely no way.
Hey, Richard, but also if you do it again, hit us up because we would want to join you.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there. All you got to do is say when.
We are so close to all these locations. Just let us know. We'll be there.
To the Indiana ones, anyway. There's also Alton. There's Ashmore Estates.
He's going to be at Ashmore in like a week. I sent you that thing. He's having an event and you can go buy his new book.
That's right. That's right.
Well, hit us up. That's it. We want to come with you. The final destination on the ghost trip is the Sally House.
Woot! So very cool that he went there.
A location that, surprise, surprise, I know very little about.
Really?
Yep, but I'm now incredibly interested.
You really need to YouTube the sightings episodes of when they first started going there. Psychic Richard James was there. This family was having stuff happen to him. And Richard mentions it in the book. Young couple, he gets scratched all the time in the house. And as he's sitting there, he gets scratched and he pulls his shirt up as he's standing there on camera. It's not like his hand was underneath the shirt faking it.
Right.
And he pulls his shirt up and you see the welts appear and then you see them actually begin to bleed.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch some stuff. The downside of doing the podcast is all of my free time goes into research and not just watching fun episodes of ghost shows.
Preach, sister.
I like this chapter because it was neat to hear someone who has similar beliefs as we do, being that, you know, the term demon is thrown around a little too loosely around here.
Yeah, way too loosely.
Yeah, things aren't normally as dark and evil as some people like to make them out to be. Mm-hmm. But for him to say that and then say that the Sally House is an exception to that is really intriguing.
I mean, there was a pentagram on the floor of the house for a while, and I found out by reading this that it's kind of faded away now to where you really kind of got to look for it.
And if the story of who they say Sally is true, that's just so much sadness in that place.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It reminds me a little bit of Jacksonville in that it was, you know, it was a doctor's office, and people probably died there, you know?
Things weren't as they are now. You know, when it comes to the medical world,
you did what you could and that was all you could do. And people died, you know, and some of those people were children.
Or is it a dark entity just pretending to be a girl named Sally?
Right.
I don't know.
You know, the interesting thing about that is as many people have been there with this whole idea that it could be a dark thing. Are you creating another egregore situation? There is something there, but maybe it's taking on something else.
Well, or doing what they say some dark things do and manipulating the situation.
Yeah.
If I present myself as this little girl, I'm going to get you to talk to me. And
the guy that got scratched all the time, when he first saw the little girl, he went into the kitchen and open the refrigerator to get some orange juice and, you know, pour himself a glass of orange juice and put it back, shut the door, and turns around, and there's a little girl standing there in front of him. And he drew a picture of her.
That's so creepy.
Yeah, imagine if you Google little girl Sally House, you'll see it.
I'll see if I can find it and we can put it on the post for this.
But yeah, the Sally House is definitely, and Atchison, Kansas in general, if you want to talk about a haunted city, that place is, the university's there is haunted. There's a dorm room there that's like they don't use anymore because it was so haunted.
I'm not doing anything this weekend. We can go.
I am doing something this weekend.
As with all of Richard's books that I read, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I've got another one waiting for me that I'm going to use for an episode in a probably like a month and a half, maybe. And if you're interested in buying any of his books, you can go on his website. They're also available directly through Amazon.
We'll put a link for this one in the show notes.
I recommend you read the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital one. You should read it too, even though I read it to you.
Yeah, I want to read Farrar. That's in my cart. I'll probably buy that.
Did you buy the book you're supposed to buy?
No.
It's our next book, Jonathan, the one we're reading next.
It is called
Episode 13 by Craig DeLuey.
It hooks you, creeps you out, and then it overwhelms you.
I'm really excited, really, really excited about this one. It was on a lot of people's lists of books that are actually scary, or, you know, these three books actually terrified me. And I don't know if you've looked into it at all, but it's about a team of ghost hunters who have their own paranormal TV show. And they're filming their 13th episode.
Ah, that makes sense.
Things do not go well for them.
Holy shit. Is that a 700-page book you got there? Or are you just that small?
It's 430 pages, but listen, a lot of the book is written in like, can you see that?
Yeah, it looks like a text message.
It's all put together as like journal entries, email exchanges, text messages, stuff like that.
Okay.
It's not just, you know, 430 pages of putting you to sleep nonsense. The pages will go quickly.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I will order this and Richard's Farrar book.
Do you see the little hands in the window?
I do see the little hands in the window.
They stole our logo.
They kind of did. Not really.
No. This next mini book club episode will come out on May 6th.
Oh, that's good. It gives me almost 2 months.
Yeah.
So Richard's book, good book, highly recommend it. And pretty much if it's got Richard Estep's name on it, it's worth reading, period.
Yeah, he's a really thorough writer without boring you. I was never bored. This was not like when we read The History of Ghosts or whatever the hell that book was called.
You're not going to let me live that down, are you?
So let us know what you thought of Richard's book and read along with us for episode 13. It should be nice and spooky.
Definitely.
Send us your book recommendations or anything you want to tell us, stories. You just want to tell us that you love us, whatever you want to do. Email us at opaghost@gmail.com.
Or you can visit us on Instagram at instagram.com/opaghost.
Or you can join our Facebook group, Opaghost.
And you can also check out our YouTube videos, which are mostly shorts. Rate us, review us. Those things help us grow as a pod. So,
yeah. And also, they just make my day. I love to see when you guys leave a review. It just makes my whole day. I screenshot it and send it to Jonathan.
He sees it long before I see it. And she's like, oh, my God, you're not going to believe what this person said. Make Heaven's Day.
Please.
Thanks for listening.
Toodles.